God and loving Heavenly Father, we come before you rejoicing and celebrating because of what you have done in our lives. And today we get to specifically celebrate what you've done in the lives of Chantel and Melissa and Zach. And Father, again, we thank you for their obedience to you and taking this step of baptism. And we look forward to hearing how and what you have done in their lives. So God, we thank you for that opportunity. May you be glorified in all that is said and done this morning. Everything points to you, Jesus. You are our life. You are everything. You are our center and our foundation. So Father, may everything we talk about and do this morning just be glorifying to you. And even as we open your word, just briefly, God, may you teach us through your word. May it impact our lives. And we just give you thanks for all of these things. And we pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Children's church and all of those things, make your way down to those areas if you are planning to attend those. Today is a celebration, of what God has done in the lives of people, his transformative power through his death, burial, and resurrection has forever changed us. And each person today that's being baptized is publicly declaring something so simple but incredibly powerful. And that's this: Jesus has changed my life. That's the declaration. That's kind of summed up in a very short sentence. Now, whether you've been walking with Jesus for a few years or maybe you're still asking some questions, baptism speaks to all of us. Because it invites us to consider what kind of love would pursue someone who's lost. What kind of love would go to great lengths to reach out to humanity who is at odds with a holy God? What kind of grace responds to hearts that are searching? And what does it look like when someone says yes to Jesus? Early in the life of the church, we see an example of this, and it captures that whole idea just beautifully. And it's in Acts chapter 6, verses 26 to 39. You'll notice we're going to miss 37 because some translators have included this, but not all have. And so it probably isn't going to be in this version, just to give you a heads up. Acts 8, 26 to 29. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road." Hang on one second. Let's back this bus up. I do want you to stand for the reading of God's word. Acts 8, 26 to 39. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all of the treasury of the Candake, which means queens of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of the scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news of Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again. But he went on his way rejoicing. Thank you. You may be seated. This is an interesting story. This is an interesting biblical account of this Ethiopian official who's traveling basically in the middle of nowhere. And he's reading scripture and he's trying to understand who God is and what it all means. You know, what is Isaiah actually talking about? And so God sends an angel and to tell Philip, you need to go to this desert road. It's not on the way to anywhere. It wasn't part of Philip's travel plans, but it's the road that he chose. And so Philip went along this road, and he didn't get any direction. So Philip's walking along this road, like, why am I here? And suddenly he's walking along, and he sees this chariot, and there's this guy, and he's reading scripture. And as tradition has it in that culture, is that they read scripture out loud. And so he's reading out loud. And so, you know, Philip goes up alongside this chariot and he's listening to this guy reading. And they begin to have this conversation. And he asks this question. You know, well, first of all, let's go back a bit. Philip explains the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ, what Jesus came to accomplish through his death, burial, and resurrection. And then as he's reading, the eunuch asks, you know, what is stopping me? I believe. I do believe that Jesus is who he says he is. I believe that I'm a sinner, and I believe that I need to be baptized. And so, you know, what's stopping me? And there was nothing that stood in the way from this man being baptized. He understood the way. He believed the gospel. He responded to it by repentance and faith. And he was baptized. And that moment helps us understand what baptism is really all about. Because baptism is the response to the gospel. It's a response to salvation. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, baptism is the visible response to our repentance and faith. It's not how we earn salvation, but it is the appropriate response to it. In baptism, someone is publicly declaring that Jesus has rescued me. He has saved me. My old life is buried. I belong to him. My old life is buried, and I am raised to walk in newness of life. You see, when someone comes to repentance, to Jesus in repentance and in faith, baptism is how they say out loud in front of others, I am a Jesus follower. I belong to him. That's what it says. That's what we're expressing to our friends, to our family, to our church community. Baptism is also obedience to Jesus' command. Jesus didn't just suggest baptism. This is something that, you know, as a follower of Jesus, you can consider this. No, it's a command. In Matthew 28:19, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." This means that if you are a follower of Jesus, baptism is not optional. It's a first step of obedience and a public witness of your new life. That's what it's declaring. I have a new life in Christ. I want people to know that there's been a transformation that's happened in my life. And thirdly, baptism is a picture of transformation. Paul writes in Romans 6 verse 4, he says, "We were buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead, we too might walk in newness of life." So when someone goes down into the water, it is like a burial. And I often look at this thing and I call it a casket. Because quite honestly, it looks like that. So I put a few pretty things in front to take away some of that. But in reality, it's okay if it looks like a casket, because what it represents when we're going down into the water is that we are dead. We have died to the old self who we once were. The water is washing away. Remember, it's all symbolic. The water washes away the sin that we had. And when we come up out of the water, it symbolizes that we are raised to a new life in Jesus Christ. Isn't that powerful? It is a powerful symbol of what baptism represents. It's a declaration. My past is buried. My sin is forgiven. And I am raised in Christ to walk in freedom. That's a powerful statement. You see, it took me a lot of years before I came to that understanding of what it all represented. But now, every time someone is baptized, every time we're bringing somebody under, putting somebody into the water and raising them up, that picture is so vivid in my mind, and it's such an important part of my life to witness it over and over again as people recognize who they are and that their lives have been redeemed. And this morning, we get to rejoice with three individuals, with Chantel and Melissa and Zach, who are boldly declaring their faith in Jesus. And for those of you who know that, who have gone through this process, speaking to some people, it's hard. And so, but we're here to come with them, alongside of them, encourage them. And it is a celebration. It is a celebration. So I do want to ask this question, and I ask this question every time we have baptism. And it's the question that the eunuch asked Philip. But I'm asking you, if you have not been baptized, why not? What's holding you back? This morning, now we have, I understand we're a church that's a little more conservative, but for this celebration, I want some of that, our conservative veins, whatever it is, to go away. And let's rejoice, let's celebrate when these young people come up out of the water, because we are celebrating something incredible. Yes, they were saved before their baptism, absolutely, but they are declaring today what God has done in their lives. So with that, I want to invite Pastor Dan up to help as well this morning. And while he's coming up, I also want to invite Chantel up.
My name is Chantel Steppen. My husband Lyndon and I have been married for 8 years, and together God has blessed us with two beautiful daughters, McKenna and McKinley. I grew up attending Ozer Mission Chapel with my family and going to Sunday school every Sunday. I was quite young when I accepted Christ into my life, and I don't remember much other than having a fear of going to hell if I didn't have Jesus in my heart. I attended Valley Christian Academy and had strong Christian influences among my teachers and peers. Going into my teenage years, I was involved in youth groups and had wonderful Christian friends that encouraged me in my faith. It wasn't until university that I finally left my Christian bubble and was thrown into the real world. It was a shock at the way people talked, acted, and lived their lives. I found it hard to adjust to leaving my comfort zone, and I blamed my high school and teachers for not better preparing me for what I had just entered. What I didn't realize is that I was given all the right tools to be prepared, but up until that point, I hadn't had to make faith my own and could just live off the faith of those around me. In 2017, Lyndon and I got married. We moved to LaRange for his work, and I took a job at the hospital working in long-term care. I walked through the doors on my first day and could feel a heavy darkness and hopelessness, a contrast to my previous long-term care position in a Christian facility. I left work with a heavy heart for such vulnerable people that were so lost. Matthew 5:16 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." I continued to work in genuine love for the people I was serving and was open about being a believer, sharing my faith with anyone who was interested in listening. Working in an environment where I was a minority based on culture, lifestyle, and beliefs was hard and lonely at times. I took this time in my life where I didn't have many friends around to better myself physically and spiritually. We spent lots of time exploring our northern community and adventuring in the forests, lakes, and rivers. I found a new appreciation for nature and the power and beauty of God. The quiet wilderness brought me peace, stillness, and a closeness to God that I hadn't felt in a while. The loneliness I was feeling became welcomed as I felt those quiet moments brought me closer in my relationship with Him. Psalm 37:4, take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Reflecting on my life, I can see a theme of trust for what God has planned for me. Praying for good things, receiving hard things, but being able to look back and see the great things He has blessed me with. Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. I want to be baptized today to obey what has been commanded of us, to set an example for other believers, and to be able to better use the gifts that I have been blessed with to serve within the church.
Thank you.
All right, let's pray for Chantel. Dear Father, you have been gracious in Chantel's life. Mm. You have led her thus far, and thank you, Heavenly Father, for your ministry in her life. At each step of the way, you are faithful, and now, Heavenly Father, you've brought her to this place of obedience, and we're thanking you for that. And Heavenly Father, we're asking you to reach into her life and continue to reach into her life to shape her and develop her into the lady that you would like her to be, and the mother and the wife as well. And that, Heavenly Father, that she might be a testimony of your grace in the days ahead. That she might be a light to her children, but that she might also, in all those that you place across her path, that she might bear testimony of you. And so, Heavenly Father, she's going to need your strength. She's going to need your grace day by day. And so we pray that she might be operate in that. Mm. And that we might be, as a body of Christ, be a support and encouragement to her in this pursuit. We pray all this in your name. Mm. Amen.
Amen. Chantel, upon confession of your faith, now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Oh, fantastic. Thank you, church. All right. Melissa, why don't you come up and share with us your God story?
Hi, my name's Melissa, and I was raised in a Christian household my entire life. I believed in God, but never truly understood salvation. I knew that Jesus died for my sins, but I never knew for certain that I would go to heaven. Growing up, I remember asking my mom often if she thinks I'll go to heaven. Jesus coming back didn't sound like my Savior returning, but a thought that terrified me. As I grew in my faith, I wanted to have confidence in where I'll spend my eternity. Looking for that peace, one night I talked to my sister and asked her that question, how do I know for sure that I'm going to heaven? I loved her clear and confident answer. She gave me Romans 10:9. It says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I recognized that it was a simple answer. I found peace knowing that God's grace isn't earned through my works and living a perfect life, but something that is guaranteed. A quote I loved on based on Jeremiah 29:11 says, God has already handled what you are worrying about. This helped me realize that no matter what is out of my control is in God's control. I am blessed to have a simple testimony, and I found Jesus, and He is enough.
Yes, absolutely. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we give you thanks for what you have done in Melissa's life. Father, thank you that you have revealed the truth of who you are to her at a young age and how she's been faithful to that. And Father, we pray that you would just continue to protect her. You would continue to guide her as she goes to school, as she hears things and is involved in different things. May she stand firm in her faith. May it be what, the light that people see. May she be the gospel to those around her. And so, Father, we just give you thanks for what you have done in her life, and we look forward to seeing what you will continue to do in and through her life. We give you thanks for her step of obedience today. And so, God, we give you praise and glory. We pray this all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Melissa, upon confession of your faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And next, Zach, why don't you come on up and share your God story with us?
Good morning, everybody. My name is Zachary Giesbrecht. I'm the son of Rain Lorraine. I was, like most people, I was born at a really young age into a Christian household, growing up, coming to OMC. I became a Christian early in life when my parents told me about Jesus, his work on the cross, and eternal life. As a result, I had a small grasp on what that was about, but I had no idea what it all entailed, so I signed right up. Throughout my early school years in small-town public school, I just thought, oh, everybody here is a Christian, and that everybody went to church and stuff. It wasn't until grade 5 or 6 when I realized that wasn't exactly the truth. I didn't question it, though, because I didn't know we were supposed to help spread God's word. In high school, I just kind of lived life like everyone else, not spreading the word, but still going to church often, though feeling like I wasn't growing in my faith. Similar to any relationship, it's a two-way street. If I'm not putting anything into it, is there even a relationship, I had thought. Then when COVID hit and you had to sign up to go to church for the following Sundays, I saw it as the perfect opportunity to stop going to church. The enemy was busy with me, convincing me I had too much sin in my life and that I was undeserving of God's love. The first half of Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And I was doing that first part for sure, conforming to this world and living for what it had to offer. And deep down, I was not happy with how things were going and the way I was living. In November of 2022, OMC had a men's conference I went to, and I had an encounter with the Lord. I was able to talk with my dad and let him know what was weighing me down and what was holding me back in my relationship with Christ. It was a huge weight lifted off me, and that is when I believe I truly became a follower of Christ. I realized that without Jesus, I am nothing in this world, and there is only death. Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I put off baptism for a while because I figured I'd get my life in order first and that I was too spiritually immature, which is wrong. I'm getting baptized today as a public statement of my faith that I believe God sent his son Jesus down to live a perfect life, and a perfect and sinless life, and to ultimately be the perfect sacrifice we needed for us to repent and believe and receive the gift of eternal life, to be in heaven with God when we die. I believe baptism is a step of obedience, and I'm so excited to be following through with this. I'm looking forward to what the Lord has in store for the rest of my life as a follower of Christ. A couple of my favorite verses to close out with. In Romans 5, verse 8, it says, "But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And then in 1 John 5, verse 13, he says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life."
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, your grace has reached into Zach's life.
Yes.
You brought him to salvation. And Heavenly Father, even as he sought to do life, you were continued to be faithful with him, to encourage him, to draw alongside him, and to draw him onto yourself. And Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your ministry in each of our lives, that you are a God who is faithful. That Heavenly Father, when we are one of your children, you pursue us. You continue to develop and shape us into the image of your dear Son. And thank you for that work in Zach's life. And Heavenly Father, as he takes this step of obedience today, may this be a step in the road of your faithfulness in his life, and that to you might continue to empower him and strengthen him and give him opportunities to live out his faith in clear and decisive ways as he walks forward. And that Heavenly Father, that he might bear testimony of you in every opportunity, and that you might give him the wisdom and the strength to live out his life in a troubled world in faithful to you. And so may you just be faithful today and give him the strength and your presence. For praying this all in your name. Amen.
Zach, upon confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for sharing your God stories, your testimonies, what God has done in your life. What a powerful morning. And as we celebrate that, I just want to invite the band up and let's continue to celebrate in song this morning.